thanks for listening to the Radiant Church Podcast. This is David Perkins, and we're so glad that you're listening. Hey, if you're a part of our family meeting online or in person, we want to encourage you to get connected at Radiant Church KC across all social media platforms. God is doing something incredible in Kansas City, and we love connecting with you, whether it's through our app or even through all the content available on our YouTube page. Hey, our prayer is that God uses this message to change your life and that you could become a dynamic disciple of Jesus. Thanks for listening. Enjoy this message.
Good morning, Radiant Church. You look radiant. It's so great to be here. This is my second time since you've begun, and I was able to bring Chris with me, and it's so incredible, not just to see the building, but to see all of you in it, to see your hearts, your passion, and most of all, the presence of God is here. The presence of God changes everything. Would you say that? The presence of God changes everything. And here's the good news. You don't have to just come to church to experience the presence of God. He inhabits your praise. So actually when you leave and you get in your car, as you're praising him, he feels welcome and his presence will be there. I count on his presence in the car to avert wrecks and all kinds of other things, arguments with my wife, and his presence is there. You can experience the presence of God every single day, every single morning, if you put your focus on him. And why is that so important? The presence of God changes everything. When he's in the house, when he's close to you, the power of the kingdom emerges and it changes everything. We are presence-drawn people, aren't we? We're not just reading the book and keeping the rules. Just like Moses, we say to God, unless you go with us, we don't want to go. I don't know about you. Unless God goes with me today, unless he goes with me tomorrow, I don't want to go. My wife and I just as soon be with him up in heaven right now. But his presence is available. And this church is filled with the presence of God. It's a statement about you that you're welcoming him. It's a statement about your pastor and Renata as they team to pastor this church, that more than anything else, I believe, more than size, numbers, notoriety, they want the presence of God to be in you and in this house. How profound. You look so good today. I'm wearing this pack because I'm an elk hunter, bow and arrow. And this is one of my favorite packs. And it's totally appropriate when you're in the mountains, you're packing out meat, you've quartered the animal down. I know this is foreign language to many of you, but to those who really matter to me, you understand this completely. And it's perfectly normal in the natural, but I want to say something. In the supernatural, sheep are not burden carriers. And if you look like this in the supernatural, in the unseen realm, it means there's a problem. And in this room right now, you look so good, but many of you are packed out even more than I am right now. And the Holy Spirit is available today for you to remove your pack and to be in a pattern of keeping it off your back so that you live a life that is light and free in the presence of the Almighty God. The scripture actually says this, that we're to take this pack and a particular word is used, and that word is this, we are to cast it. And we're gonna learn about that today. And when you leave, if you're willing, you're gonna be lighter than you are right now, and you're gonna leave things here that you will never put on your back again. Oh, Holy Spirit, you alone can do these things. Come among us anew. And just as the song said, heal us, restore us, remake us. If you have your Bible and would like to turn, or you can look on the screen, first we're gonna read from Matthew chapter 11. This is the Message version. And this is a beautiful invitation from Jesus to us all the time. Follow along with me. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? He says, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy, did you get that? Or ill-fitting on you. Come, keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. May I take a survey? How many of you want to live freely and lightly? Freely and lightly. Then you are candidates. And then in the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, sometimes those who have written the Bible through the Holy Spirit, in the midst of a variety of statements, they make this just little statement. And it stands out on purpose. And this is in 1 Peter. Those Peter is writing true throughout Asia are experiencing tremendous persecution. Their lives are at stake. Their families' lives are at stake. And in the midst of all this, Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. What is meditating on scripture? It's taking time to think about scripture, taking time to repeat scripture, taking time to be surrounded by scripture. And so we take this passage, he says, casting. This means letting it go. This means releasing it. This means not holding a little bit of it, but letting all of it go. And then he says, all your anxiety. I love this, that God's saying, not just a little bit. You don't have to hold just a little bit and let me have the rest so you can prove that you're willing. I want you to cast all your anxiety, all of it. And then he says, your anxiety. That electricity in you that comes on you sometimes that you feel like you're going to explode, but it's not a good explode, and it's overwhelming to you, and some of you have had panic attacks, and some of you have experienced this in a variety of ways. He says, I want you to cast all of this. The anxiety of, are we going to die tomorrow? Are they going to come and take my family? The anxiety of, how are we going to make ends meet? The anxiety of, why, God, haven't you healed me yet? Cast all of it on him. But it doesn't say because he's the answer to everything or because it's the practical thing to do. He says this because he cares for you. Oh, that God would show all of us today, beyond anything else, he cares for you. No matter what you see in your life, no matter what you're experiencing, no matter what you've lost, he cares for you. The devil doesn't want you to know God cares for you. The devil wants to bring you arguments that say this: if you're all powerful, then why are you allowing this? If you're a good God, why do you let bad things happen to good people? But I want to say above all of this, Jesus one day will explain it all, but you need to hear this. He cares for you. Presence of the living God, convince us today how much you care for us. This message is personal to me. I have battled anxiety all of my life. So when I hear cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you, it's meaningful. My grandmother had debilitating anxiety. I didn't know what it was. She would ask me to pray for her. She was just about to explode. And in her day, it was Valium that helped her. Then my mother had anxiety. She was always nervous, always anxious. And then I had nagging anxiety. I don't know, it might have started when I was born. I was a breech baby. That was anxious. With the cord wrapped around my neck, they told me this. And just the thought of rejection when I'm being born, and they say, you have twins. And they say, no, it's a bottom. It's not twins. And I mean, that type of thing. So, but truly, all kidding aside, I have experienced panic attacks when I was going to master school, high blood pressure, when I was in my 20s, lest I feel alone in this, so did many, many Bible characters you know very, very well. Job experienced overwhelming anxiety. Hannah, Samuel's mother, was overwhelmed with anxiety. It was obvious when she was there in the tent pleading for a son. Moses experienced anxiety. He was at the top of his game when he killed the Egyptian, and then for 40 years, he experienced anxiety to the place where when God says, I want you to do this, he said, do not count me in. I am not qualified. He was so nervous, so anxious. Elijah experienced anxiety after the zenith of the expression of God and the killing of all of these priests of Baal and Asherah. And then he got to the place where he said this, I wish I had never been born. Why don't you just take me right now? He was overwhelmed with anxiety. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, Solomon, he has everything, and then he writes the book that he says, all of this is meaningless. All of it is meaningless. Anything you could ever desire or want other than God, and it results in meaningless. He's filled with anxiety. And then David, it's so astounding that God permits David to be real so that God shows us how real we can be with him in Psalm 55. My heart is in anguish within me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Oh, to have wings and fly away like a dove. Overwhelmed. And God even gives us words in the scriptures so that when we're anxious, we can pray them. Isn't that incredible? He gives us words from David. I'm so grateful for John Mark Comer's words. He says, God allowed David, a flawed, emotional train wreck, to lead Israel, his chosen people. But not only that, he took David's raw, brutal, honest lyrics, gushing with fear, anxiety, doubt, depression, and questions about God's faithfulness. Does it sound like any of you here? Fear, anxiety, doubt, depression, questions about God's faithfulness, and made them part of the inspired scriptures. God is not shocked by your emotions. Let me say that one more time. Listen, everybody. God isn't shocked by your emotions. No matter how messed up you may be, God is right there with you, listening. We see that those in scripture battled anxiety. I have battled anxiety. And so might you be battling anxiety. It's widespread. It's on the increase, especially since COVID. Anxiety is the most common mental illness struggle affecting one in five people, at least in our nation. The Gen Z, the statistic is one in four individuals. According to Dr. Robert Leahy, well-known cognitive therapist, he says the average teenager in America experiences the same level of anxiety as a psychiatric patient did in the 1950s. When we track the rise of anxiety and depression, we see it paralleling with the rise even of social media. One talk is not going to suffice to utterly change your life, although God is going to begin. He wants to prepare you for a journey to be free from anxiety. And so this is a start on that journey. I want to share keys with you that hopefully you can remember and practice to cast your anxiety and receive his peace consistently. Paul knows about this. Jesus knows about this. We read this. Jesus says, don't worry in Matthew 6 about your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of this will be given to you. So he's calling us, don't worry. Then we read in Matthew 26, Jesus began to be in terrible distress and misery. My heart is nearly breaking, he told them. Stay here, keep watch with me in the Garden of Gethsemane. Paul in Philippians says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends your understanding, it's something you can't understand, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Here's something I don't want you to miss here. We can read that. I've got to tell him. I've got to be thankful. I've got to petition. What's the difference between prayer and petition? I know what thanks means. But the thing I don't want you to miss is in Christ Jesus. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. You see, Christianity is not a system where you learn certain things to do so you get better. It is the only religion where its author says, focus on me. Follow me. The answer is found in me. I am the way. I am the truth. Yes, this is the truth, but this truth is about I am. I am the truth. I am the bread of life. And he is also called the God of peace. And so you will find your peace in a person and not in a formula. Now, we are guilty of this. I am guilty of this. Looking at following Jesus as formulaic. And so we take this, don't be anxious for anything, don't be anxious, don't be anxious. Then you're anxious, you say, don't be anxious for anything. You pray, I pray the right thing. Okay, I'm gonna pray the right thing. I give thanks to you and I supplicate to you. And then if you have really spiritual people not around you, they say, you're not holding your tongue right. When you're doing this, you just gotta hold your face right. You gotta say it right. You know what? I think you lack faith, because if you really had faith in Jesus, if you did those things, you would not be anxious and you would be kept in Christ Jesus. You know what I want to describe these as? Rather than formulas, they are signposts on a journey. There are a lot of us who struggled with anxiety over the years. And the most important thing that I can tell you today are not steps again that you know, but I want to start by telling you these three things. You are not alone. You are in the company of Moses. You are in the company of King David. You are in the company of Paul. You are in the company of Jesus himself, who was deeply anxious. Number two, God cares deeply about you, for he cares for us. He has compassion. Do you know what compassion in the Bible means? To suffer with. Our God is the only God who does not stand apart from us and watch us suffer and judge us. Our God puts on flesh and comes in our sufferings, suffered for us, and now through his Holy Spirit, as you battle illness, as you battle broken relationship, he is in you to suffer with you. I don't know about you, I can face anything if I know my wife is with me. I can really face anything if I know Jesus is there. If I ask you this question, do you think you could face life better this week if Jesus walked with you physically and you felt his hand touching you over and over again and he talked to you? He chose not to do that because he's in heaven at the right hand of the Father, but he sent his Spirit and he's gonna do more than be with you. He's gonna be inside of you. He says, I won't leave you as orphans. I won't leave you alone. Here's the third good news. The first, you're not alone. Next, he cares deeply. And number three, you can be free. You can be free immediately. You can be free progressively. And those two go beautifully together. I don't really have to unpack anxiety for us, except to say it's kind of like feeling like you're an emotional hostage. When you're really facing anxiety, this feeling that your brain is suffocating, you can't sleep at night, your breathing gets more shallow, your heart starts to palpitate, you make a bunch of doctor's appointments, they say your heart is perfectly fine. We think it's stress, and you're like, no, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And you know, I read my Bible every day and I worship. I worshiped in the car and I'm doing all of this. You can do all those things sometimes and still be utterly anxious. And so is there a pathway to freedom? Is there something that we can do? The first thing is to begin with the why. Anxiety always has a reason. So start with the why. We see this in Psalm 42 with David. He says, why are you so downcast, O my soul? He's speaking to his soul. So as you're battling anxiety, ask the question to yourself, why are you, what is it that you're anxious about? What is it that you're so nervous about? Both anxiety and depression are symptoms of something even deeper. And it's everywhere in our world and in our culture. Now, as a pastor, my anxiety before I hit the wall was I would wake every morning with a sense of I'm not good enough, I'm not doing enough. I'd walk into the church building and I'd feel guilty. There's no reason to feel guilty. I hadn't sinned. I hadn't done anything. And so what I did, what any smart pastor did, I went and had an appointment with a couple deliverance guys on our team because my hope was just get the demon out and I won't be anxious anymore. This would be great. And if truth be told, some of you have thought the same thing. So I sat down with them, the spiritual guys, and they, you know, they did their thing and they called on the name of Jesus and all of this stuff. And at the end they said, you don't have anything we can cast out, but you are a perfectionist. Did you know you can't cast out the flesh? You know what you do with flesh? You crucify it. And that's why Jesus says this, and this shows the process nature of this. He says, take up your cross, how often? Daily, which means this, there are things that need to die every day in us, and perfectionism, let me just welcome you and invite you to put it to death every single day. Trade it for excellence. Trade perfectionism for excellence. Perfectionism is without any error whatsoever. Excellence is the best that I can do with the time allotted to me and the energy I have. Perfect, or the best that I can do with the time allotted to me and the energy that I have. And so start with Hawaii. In my case, most of my anxiety was from a growing up in a family with a military colonel in the Marine Corps, and I had to toe the line. We never got to sit on our bed because beds aren't to sit on, they're to sleep in, and once you've tightened them up, don't sit on it. And the list goes on and on and on. And so I had that in me and it needed to die in me. You see, fear and anxiety are faith, strong faith. It takes faith to be afraid and to be anxious, but it's faith in a future without the presence and the power of God. And God wants to show you his presence is available and his power so you can have faith in that. Next, be aware of common causes. First, start with the why in your own life, and this is why it's good to do life together, and it's good to have this prayer team up here because they have insight. Some of them have words of knowledge, and they'll say, I think God is saying this, and it will click inside of you, and you'll go, I see why I'm so anxious all the time, and this will help you. So understand some common causes. Here's a very common cause. Sin is a common cause of anxiety. If you have unconfessed sin and permitted sin in your life right now, I hope you're anxious. Because unless we are, we may not change. Sin makes you anxious. Now, the flip side of that, unfortunately, is sin done against you makes you anxious. And that's why we need to be healed. If you have been abused by someone, misused by someone, controlled by any of those things, that is sin against you, and it creates anxiety inside of us. I'm so thankful you have a life-giving fellowship because James says this, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other that you may be healed. Watch this. Confess to God to be forgiven. Confess to others to be healed. Watch it again. Confess to God to be forgiven. Confess to others to be healed. Today, you have an opportunity here in the front. Some of you, something's been done to you, or you have done something, and no one has ever heard, and it is a backpack on your back that will remain there until you break through with the courage of God and say, I need to confess something. They won't tell your story. We're praying, give them the gift of forgetfulness. But they're available every week so that we keep short accounts. We can confess our sins. God's already forgiven us if we've confessed to him. But you can be free from them and you can be healed. So sin is a common cause. Stress causes anxiety. What is stress? The body's response to change. And so that means if you're moving into a new house, you will have stress. Any kind of change, it's not picky or choosy. Chains, crisis, social media comparison, loss, high wind, all those things will create anxiety. In 2014, 4 years after a terrible church split where Chris and I lost most of our friends, we lost 1,800 people, $2 million, and the story goes on and on. Our lives were shattered. Years after that, 5 years after that, I started to experience heart palpitations. My blood pressure was through the roof. I couldn't sleep at night. I began to become hypervigilant. You know what that is? That is, you go to the grocery store and you sit in the parking lot and you feel like you're doing reconnaissance to see who's there and who may confront you in public, because after the terrible split we had, I had people come up screaming at me in public with my son there, causing him to weep and yelling. And it's just like, once that happens, you don't want it to happen again for some reason. It's not something you want. And so then I would never go in a restaurant unless I could sit against the wall and watch the door. You know what those are descriptions of? I had nightmares. Those are descriptions of PTSD. Do you know you don't have to go to war to have PTSD? You just have to experience trauma. And I was overwhelmed. And when the doctor said this is caused by stress, it was, oh, no, no, no. I haven't been more consistent ever in my Bible reading and this and this and on and on. And he said, I think we need to really consider you getting counseling. And even then he's the bad word. I think you need to consider, here it is, taking a med. I was like, I'm a pastor. I'm a Christian. I've walked with Jesus since I was 19 years old. Don't say med to me. That is a bad word. Spiritual people don't take meds. Now, don't believe that, okay? But that's what I felt inside. And so I struggled and struggled and struggled until I took a med and it started to help me. And stress, the stress of that loss, the stress of betrayal, the stress of relationships broken. Next, struggles cause anxiety. Let me differentiate this. Sins are clear acts of disobedience. Struggles are patterns of thought or family of origin or relationships. And I'll give you some struggles. Perfectionism is a struggle. You can't rest unless it's done perfectly. Obsessive focus on yourself is a struggle. If you can't pass a mirror without checking yourself out, and if you put yourself down consistently when you look in the mirror, if on Facebook you're looking all the time and comparing yourself, this is a struggle. And do you know what it causes in us? It causes anxiety inside of us. And it is a pandemic in our culture right now. Oh, to enter in the beauty of self-forgetfulness, which is a real thing. Fear of rejection, the fear of man, these things are struggles and they're common sources. So what do we do with them? The first thing is this: think about what you think about. We're often thinking about all that stuff. I give you encouragement and permission. Think about what you're thinking about. You see, we can't repent, which means change our mind. Repentance is simply this: changing our mind, which leads to a change of direction. I'm thinking this way. I'm walking this way. I decide to go God's way. I change my mind. I change direction. And I walk this way. By the way, when I'm walking this way, not God's way, I'm walking in my own shadow because he's the light. I'm walking in darkness, but when I turn, change my mind, think like he thinks, he loves me, he cares for me, I'm walking in the light as he is in the light, and I find victory as I walk in that light. So the battle over anxiety and depression always begins with our minds. It starts with how we think. God has a plan for you. It's a wonderful plan. The devil has a terrible plan for you, and he's just using you to get at God because he hates God. He wants to lie to you about God. God doesn't really care about you. Your life really doesn't have purpose, all of that. It's very interesting. Of all the places that Jesus could win the victory over sin, death, anxiety, bitterness, depression, God led him to a place called the skull. And on the place of the skull, Jesus' blood fell down and he purchased victory for every one of us. The battle is won or lost still at the place of the skull. How are you thinking? I'm here to change your thinking through the Holy Spirit. John Mark Comer once again says this: control your thoughts or they will control you. Control your thoughts. One of the reasons we teach you is to renew your mind so you can embrace those thoughts, and then you use those thoughts against lies and you stand against them. In Isaiah 26:3, I've repeated this over and over, you will keep the one in perfect peace who trusts in you, all those whose thoughts are fixed on you. The first key to victory over anxiety is to focus your thoughts on God. We're faced with two choices every single day of our lives. You can focus on the resistance or the revelation. The resistance, which is all around us, and it's on our phone especially, or the revelation of God. Jesus says in Hebrews through the author, fix your eyes on me. I'm the author. I'm the perfecter. I'm going to lead you to do this. Think about what you think about. I want to encourage all of us, when you're feeling anxious, ask, why am I feeling anxious? And then number two, is there something that's not true that I am believing? Next, talk to God and others about what you're thinking about. Talk to God and others. And so Philippians chapter 4, we know it. Don't be anxious. Present your requests to God. God, I am feeling anxious. I don't like this. I know it's not your plan for me, but I'm feeling it right now. I need your peace, God. Here's what I'm facing. Please, Lord, would you help me? And he says, I'm going to move on you in Christ Jesus. One of the things I've learned, and this has really helped me from Jesus' calling, Sarah Young has done a beautiful job here. She says, one of the most powerful things you can repeat consistently is, Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I trust you. When you don't feel like it, Jesus, I trust you. When you feel like it, Jesus, I trust you. Can you say that with me? Jesus, I trust you. Now, can you say it to him and not just for me? Jesus, I trust you. Lord, settle that inside of us. By faith, we trust you, not by sight. Cast all your anxiety on him. All of it, all of it. Cast means let it go. I remember at the lowest point of my life, I could barely drive. I was so overwhelmed. And I said, Holy Spirit, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I can take this anymore. And I heard this little whisper, let go. I was like, do you mean the steering wheel? What are you talking about? I can't let go. He says, no, let go, let it go. I said, how do I let it go? He said, let it go. And I said, Jesus, I let all these things go. And I'll do it as many times as it takes. And then he whispered, don't drive looking in the rearview mirror anymore. You can't drive looking in the rearview mirror. You got to look straight ahead. And I would say out loud, over and over again, forward, Les, forward, look forward. We're seeing this, what I'm talking about. You next displace anxiety with truth. Displace it with truth. See, what we have a bucket of anxiety and we're trying to do this. We're trying to do this to flip the water of anxiety out of us. God says, no, I just want you to pour truth in this and it will displace anxiety over the edges. You see, we're a people, I taught you before this, you're a river people. You have a river of life flowing out of you. And when that river of God gets down in that anxiety, it lifts it up and you displace it. And so here's what scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We are demolishing arguments and ideas that pit themselves against the knowledge of the one true God. And we're taking prisoners of every thought and every emotion and we're subduing them into the obedience of the anointed one, Jesus. We're displacing them by bringing Jesus to bear on this situation. I like what E. Stanley Jones said. Every temptation that comes to you, every lie, demand that it show you its neck, for the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Every lie has a footprint on it. It just doesn't want you to see that and believe it. If the Son sets us free, he sets us free indeed. And so our daily declaration is dependency on him. And then finally, you're displacing, you're asking why, you're sharing with other people. Be open to counseling. Continue to be open to sharing with your small group, your life group. Here it comes. Be open to meds. and the assistance that they can bring. I saw a counselor at that time for 3 years every week. And my mind started to change. I took Ambien for 3 or 4 years because I couldn't sleep. The anxiety wouldn't let up. Periodically, I took Xanax for a year. And it really helped me. God wants us to cast all the anxiety on Him and begin a journey toward peace and victory. He can do this instantly. And yet, He often chooses to do this progressively. If you take a med for an emotional situation, you don't have faith. How about diabetes? If you take insulin for diabetes, if you take blood thinner because your heart is at risk of heart attack, does it mean you lack faith? I think it means you're really wise. Now, Dr. Friend has told me this, anti-anxiety meds don't heal anxiety. Jesus, through process, usually heals anxiety. But you have to be willing to take them as long as you need to take them so that you don't take your life or pull your family down with you. How are you doing now, Pastor Les? Better than ever, and I'm still on a journey. I still talk to myself every day in the Lord. Every single morning, the priority is to be settled in peace with Him so I can function and walk in His ways and make Him known. Do I still battle anxiety? I do. But I'm on the winning side and not the oppressive side. Oh God, that You would take away our embarrassment for being broken human beings. Oh God, that You would give us the freedom not only to confess to You and to know that You want our anxiety, You welcome it, but to confess with one another. I want to release to you a gift if you would receive it. God has given me peace and anxiety, and He wants to give it to you. Paul said to the Romans, I hope to come to you soon, that I might impart to you some spiritual blessing. You know what impartation means? Taking something you have and releasing it to other people. Whether it's anxiety, whether it's depression, whether it's nervousness, whether it's fear, whatever it is that's on your back, God's answer is peace. Remember Jesus, when He shows up after His resurrection, walks through the door, not open the door, through the wall. First thing out of His mouth, what's He saying? Peace. And then I love the one passage. After a few minutes talking, He says, again, peace. Would you be willing to receive the peace of God and have it displace your anxiety right now? If you are, would you put your hands out like this? Right where you are. You don't even need to get up. Forget about me, all right? Forget about me. Feel the weight of your anxiety, your depression, your fear, whatever emotion, confusion. And when I say cast it, I want you to flip your hands upside down and push your hands down, okay? Father, in the might of Jesus' name, I thank You for Your presence in this room. I thank You Your word will not return void, but it has spoken to our hearts and given us hope. I thank You, Lord, that in You, because You care for us, we will be delivered. And so now, Lord, we take the weight of anxiety, we take the weight of fear, we take the weight of depression, confusion, and in Jesus' mighty name, get ready, everyone, we choose to cast it on You now. Down to the floor. And turn your hands up again. And now, Lord, we want Your peace. Father, by the authority of Jesus and His presence in this room, where there has been anxiety, fear, depression, by Your authority, I release peace. Whew. into your hearts. Palpitating hearts, stop, relax. Buzzing inside, stop, relax. High blood pressure, go down, go down. Dread of the future, cease in the name of Jesus. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. I give you my peace. Now, Lord, may it not be removed. We leave the pile of anxiety in this room. And we leave today filled with the peace of God in Jesus' name.